How is everyone this morning?
Good.
Good? That's the way. So Junior doesn't believe in Valentine's Day. Do you know why Junior doesn't believe in Valentine's Day? I think this is the reason. Because Valentine's Day is every day for someone who loves their wife. True? Give that a clap. It shouldn't just be once a year. It should be every single day. Amen? Amen. All right, let's just pray for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you on this day, Lord, and we remember that you are our Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was, is, and is to come, the one who cares about us more than anyone in the whole world, Lord. You came and you died. You died because of your great love towards us. Whilst we were still in that mud, Lord, and in sin, Father, you looked at us. And you didn't see that, Lord, but you saw the love that you had towards us. Father, we are forever grateful for what you did. Please lead us and guide us in everything we say and everything we do. Use my mouth, Lord, to be able to encourage people this morning. And may everything I say, Lord, be under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so Morella asked me last week if I could say something on Valentine's Day. And I thought to myself, I've only been married a short time, only 28 years. That's not very long. So maybe there should have been someone else more qualified to be able to speak on this subject. Like my mother, for example, who was being married yesterday, 50 years. Yeah. Is that a good example? Yeah. Amen. 50 years. My uncle in New York, who's now passed away, was married for 70 years. He holds the record, or did up to not long ago, for the longest marriage in New York. 70 years. It's probably been beaten now, but yeah. At that time, he held the record for being married for 70 years. So, Valentine's Day. Did you give someone flowers or chocolates or send them? No? I want to give you a little bit of history about this Valentine's Day. It's a pagan festival. It started in Rome. Most stuff starts in Italy, in Rome, doesn't it? These Italians, they invent everything. Right? I don't know, there's something about these Italian people. They invent everything. Anyway, who's been to Rome before? Put up your hand. Have you ever been to Rome? Okay. Have you ever seen Rome on the internet? Okay. All right. Rome is a very, very different place. When we talk about Rome in biblical terms, we don't look at Rome and look at it the way we do today. Okay? Because now Italy is united. It's been united for about 150-something years, 55, 157 years. Known as Italy, one nation. Rome was an empire before, and it wasn't the size that you see it now. If you go to Rome, have you ever seen the English embassy? Has anyone ever been to the English embassy? Okay. Well, that's pretty much where it used to finish. It's a place called Porta Pia. At Porta Pia, there's a big soldier with a beret on. And that's where the Rome, it's called Roma Antica, which means ancient Rome. The walls used to finish there, and there's still remnants of the walls. So I'm giving you a little bit of a history thing before we go into this, because it's going to all tie in together at the end. So anyway, and this, the Rome of that time, the ancient Rome, or Roma Antica, was very small compared to what it is now. So it had these walls around it, and they believed that Rome was planted by two people. One of them was called Romolo, and the other one was called, anyone else? Romeo. So that was, they were the two people that founded Rome. Now, the story says, or history tells us, that these two people, their parents died. Their parents died at a very, very young age. They were only tiny little babies. And believe it or not, I don't know, you can believe it or you can't believe it, whatever you like. Apparently, a wolf raised these two little babies. And if you go to Rome, you will see around in different places, there's murals, there's statues of a wolf, and there's two little children drinking milk from under the wolf. Lupa, which is the wolf. So anyway, that's the history of Rome. Apparently, these two people started it, and that's where we get Rome, ancient Rome, by these two little babies who were raised by a wolf. Maybe far-fetched, I don't know. But it makes me think sometimes, because we look at Noah and the Ark, and did any of those animals attack him? Did any lions or wolves or tigers attack Noah? Something to think about. Maybe there is some truth in it. About Romolo and Remo. Anyway, let's move on. What happened this Valentine's Day? It started in the year 720, I believe. 720 AD, after death of Christ. And there was a pagan festival that was all started off by Lucerpi, the order of Roman priests. They would gather together and go to this cave where they believe Romolo and Romeo started, and that's where they were raised by this wolf. So they'd go there because it had significance for them. And what they'd do is they would get a goat, and they would sacrifice the goat. They would take the skin off the goat, cut it into strips, pretty gruesome, dip it in blood, and they would go around and just anoint the ladies and the fields, saying that by doing this, they would be productive. They would it would be fertilized. They would it would be a fertile thing for them, for the fields and for the lady. They would make children. They would have children and so on and so forth. So that's one of them. And they would sacrifice any sort of people that did not believe it. They actually made up 12 of their gods, and they would have to worship them. So there's a couple of different stories. The other one is this. It's called a bloke by the name of, what's his name again? Valentinos. Valentinos. So the story of Valentine does begin in the 3rd century when this Roman empire, Roman emperor was martyring the people, who believed in God or in Jesus. But there was a certain Christian person called Valentinos. Claudius, the emperor back then, Claudius II, had ordered that all Romans were to worship 12 gods. And he made the crime punishable by death for Christians who would not do that. So there was this guy called Valentinos. So Valentinos had some different ideas. He believed that Christ was the one, and he didn't care whether he was going to get put to death because he believed in what he believed. So he was imprisoned, put into prison, and during the last weeks of Valentinos's life, a very remarkable thing happened. He was a very intelligent man, a man who taught others. So the person, the jailer, the person at the prison, had a daughter. Her name was Julia. And he brought her to Valentinos. This Julia was blind from birth. She couldn't see. So Julia was a very pretty young girl with a very quick mind, even though she couldn't see. So Valentinos read some stories to her about Rome. He read some stories to her, and he also spoke to her about God. So when she saw this through her eyes, even though she couldn't see, she started to gain wisdom, and she started to get comfort in what he was saying to her. So Valentinos, Julia asked him, "Does God really listen to our prayers?" I ask you this morning the same question. Does God really listen to your prayers? Say that to yourself. Does God really listen to my prayers? Well, the answer is yes, he does. God listens to your prayers. Do you have to be perfect for God to listen to your prayers? If that was the case, none of us would ever have our prayers listened to. I'm far from perfect. I'm not perfect at all. So God doesn't listen to people who are perfect, because none of us are. But what he's looking for is sincere people that really want to change and make a difference. So Julia says to Valentinos, Does God really listen to our prayers? Valentinos answers and he says, yes, my child, he hears everyone. Do you know what I've been praying for every morning and every night? I pray that I can see. I want so much to see everything that you've told me about. He answered and said to her, God does what is best for us if we only believe in him. God will always do what's best for you, but you've got to believe it. Believe and receive, doubt and do without. Believe and receive, doubt and do without. So, Valentinos, I do believe, she said. I do believe I do. She knelt down, grabbed his hands, and they sat quietly together, both of them praying. And suddenly there was a bright light that came into those prison cells, a radiant light, and Julia screamed out and said, Valentinos, I can see, I can see. So he said, praise God. He began to praise God, and he knelt down and started to thank God for the sight that she'd received. And on the eve of his death, of Valentino's death, he wrote down a note to Julia, urging her to stay close to God. And at the end of it, he signed it, from your Valentine. His sentence was carried out the next day from the prison to Julia on February 14, 270 AD. Near the gate, which was then after named Porta Valentini. That's the name of it now. That particular place is called Porta Valentini, in the memory of Valentinos. He was buried, and now there is also a church right there. It's called the Pradex in Rome. Julia has been said to have planted a pink-blossomed almond tree right next to the gate. And today, this is something I didn't know, today the almond tree remains a symbol of abiding love and friendship. Did anyone know that? Because I didn't. Almond tree remains a symbol of abiding love and friendship. I don't know where the roses came into it. I'm not sure. Anyway, on each February 14, St. Valentine's Day, messages of affection and love and devotion are exchanged all around the world. So that's pretty much the story about Valentine and Valentinos. So I like that story there. But like I said, Valentine Day should be every day, because you need to love your wives, and your wives, you need to love your husbands. Amen? Amen. Praise God. See, many people celebrate it and they've got the wrong ideas. We should remember that God is the one who gave us love. He's the one that has shown us perfect love, unfailing and uncompromising love for us. Love binds everything together. I want everyone to repeat that. Ready? One, two, three. Love binds everything together. Once again, love binds everything together. It's love. The Bible talks about love. For God, so loved the world. You can put that up if you like. For God so loved the world, so loved the world. Love binds everything together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So what's the ingredient? It's love. Jesus speaks the language of
love.
True love. Not just the love for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. An everlasting love. A love for eternity. Amen? He loves us for eternity. See, love, when you think about love, I think about something else. And it ties in with what the Bible speaks about, water. I don't know, there's a lot of similarities between love and water. Water, the water you drink. Without water, you can't live. Without love, you can't live. See the similarities? You can't live without water. You can't live without love. If there's no water, there's no life. If there's no love, there is no eternal life. Do you see there how they tie into each other? No water, no life. Plants need water. They also need tender loving care. Plants need water. Do humans need water? Humans need water, all right. According to Dr. Jeffrey Utz, neuroscientist, he says, a human body in a baby is made up of 78% water. 78% water. That's almost the whole lot, isn't it? 78% water. I did have a diagram here, I've lost it. 78% water in a baby. In a human, it's slightly less, it's 65%. Your brain and your heart are made up, just those organs there, are made up of 73% water, those organs on alone. And so we need water. The Bible says, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you. In Psalm 52:8, but I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust steadfast in the love of God forever and ever. We need water to live, and we need love to keep going and to live. Jesus showed us a perfect example of love. He showed us a perfect example of love, an unselfish example of love. He didn't think of himself. Who did he think of first? He thought of us. He thought of you on the front row, on the back row, over this side. He thought of you. Jim, when God created this world, he knew your name, Jim Ward, James Ward. He knew you before you were even born. Did you know that? Yes. He knows you by name, Junior. He knows you by name. Before you were born, he knows you by name. He knew you by name. And so he loved you so much, and he couldn't bear the thought of any of you people going to an eternal hell. He wants you to go with him and live with him forever. But it's up to you. The choice is in your hands. The choice is in your hands today, tomorrow when you go to work, and every other day. What are you going to do with that choice? Are you going to stay close to God? You know, Christianity is not about just Sundays, but it's about every day. It's a lifestyle you should be leading every day, and we should be leading every day. We need to be examples. And like I said, I'm not perfect, but we need to keep going. We need to try our best to be good examples, because people don't really listen that much to what they say. They're more interested in the actions that we do. That's what they're more interested in, is the actions, the way you present yourself to them in situations. And I lose my patience sometimes at work too, and I've got to sort of grab hold of myself and, hey, I'm supposed to be an example. People are looking at me. I feel like strangling this guy, the way he's carrying on. Do you know what I mean? Has anyone been in that situation before? At your workplace, at your school, in your university, that someone is just continually nagging at you and just bogging you down, and you feel like going, oh, man. But you've got to pull yourself together and say, I am a child of God. I'm a child of the King. They're looking at me. I'm an example. What am I going to do? How am I going to react? How am I going to speak? Does it upset you when people swear and people say bad things about God, or they swear to God? It does. To me, it really hurts me when I hear people doing that. Some people don't care, but to me, I don't know why. It just really, really bugs me, because they're swearing about a person that I love. True? Yeah. I'm involved in the concrete industry, and that's one of the main ingredients that we need to do what we do, is water. Without water, you wouldn't have buildings, big multi-story buildings. Without water, you wouldn't have bridges that you drive over. Without water, you wouldn't have a lot of roads. A lot of roads are made out of concrete. So it's water. Everything you look at ties back to water. There's got to be water in there for it to work. And sometimes we just take it for granted. We think, oh, it's water. Water is such a precious commodity. It's like love. Water and love tie in together. So what we need to do, I believe, is to keep growing in our relationships. If you're going to give someone a rose, well and good. But remember that the person you're giving the rose to may end up being your wife, the mother of your children, and the grandmother of your great-grandchildren. Choose carefully who you give the rose to. Yeah. Amen? I gave mine to my wife, and she's the best person that I could ever meet. She's my closest friend. With all our actions, we are what we repeatedly... This is what someone said once. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but it's a habit. I'll repeat that again. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but it's a habit. So we need to show respect repeatedly, love repeatedly, honesty repeatedly in our relationships. Our attitudes are very important. We are either the masters or the victims of our attitudes. We are either the masters or the victims of our attitude. It's a matter of personal choice, blessings or curse. Our choices have consequences. How do we make progress in our relationships? Someone once said this: if you are not making the progress you would like and are capable of making, it's simply because your goals are not clearly defined. I'll read that again. If you are not making the progress you would like to and are capable of, it is simply because the goals are not clearly defined. We need to have defined goals. We need to know where we're going. We need to know what we're doing. Are you with me so far? I'm not trying to go over the top. Is everyone understanding where I'm getting at? We need to have clear, defined goals. When you've got a partner, you need to have clear, defined goals between you together. Praise God. Keep doing the same thing. I think Morella said this once. Keep doing the same thing and you will get the same results. Was that one of yours? Keep doing the same thing and you will get the same results. A person said this: failure is not the worst thing in the world. The worst thing in the world is not trying. Failure is not the worst thing in the world. The worst thing in the world is not trying. You have to keep on trying. Even if you fail, you have to keep on trying. Amen? Don't just fall down. Never give up. An American president, I can't remember who he was, he said at a university campus once, they called him up to have a speech at a university campus, and they were all expecting a 50-page speech, and he only said a few words. He said, never give up, never give up, never give up. Got out and walked out. Never give up. ICC. Down the back, up the front, young kids, university students, elderly folk. Never, ever, ever give up. Don't give up. God is on your side. God is with you. Who can be against you? Never give up. Be strong, because God will help you. Don't give up. Praise God. Where am I? I'm getting sidetracked here. Okay, if you do this, yep, okay. Very worst thing is not trying. We need to take care of the minutes, because the hours will take care of themselves. We need to take care of the minutes because the hours will take care of themselves. We all need to get closer to Jesus. Every one of us needs to get closer to Jesus. And as we do this, you watch your relationships grow. You watch your relationships grow. Has anyone ever seen the diagram of a triangle in church? Has anyone ever? Maybe someone hasn't seen that before. I need two volunteers. So Junior and Tawana, they're always my volunteers. Up you come. Okay. You stay on this side. You're on this side. Okay. Put your finger there. Just see. Junior and Tawana. Okay. You ready? This is Junior. This is Tawana. This is God. What happens when they go close to God? Slide your fingers forward. What happens when you go closer to God?
Closer to each other.
What happens if you go further away from God? Can you see that? Over this side? As they get closer to God, what happens? They're getting closer to each other. But the further away they go from God, the less time they spend. The less time Junior and Tawana spend praying together, look what happens. The less time they communicate together, look what happens. The less time he gives her a hug and cuddle, what happens? You with me? You got the picture? So the closer they get to God, the closer they get to each other, and the stronger their relationship becomes. Amen? Amen. Give him a clap. Thank you. The closer you get to God in your relationship, and the closer and the stronger your relationship will become. But the further, the less time you pray together, the less time you read the Bible together, the less time you communicate together, things seem to get further and further and further and further apart. But there's always hope. Never give up. Remember I said never give up? There's always hope. Tell your wife you love her every day. Tell your husband that you love them. Tell your children that you love them. And give them a hug. Amen? Because we're here for a very short time, aren't we? Might be here for 80, 90 or 100 years, but eternity is a lot longer than that. So what we're doing is we are creating a legacy for our children. There's another verse of scripture that is up there, Colossians. Yep. And above all, Colossians 3:14. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together. Love is the one that binds everything together. It's the main ingredient. It's the main ingredient in your relationship with your spouse. It's the main ingredient in your relationship with God is love. Water is the vital nutrient to life and every cell in your body. And Jesus is the vital thing that we need in our relationships. Jesus is the vital thing that we need in our relationships. Let us be wise with our relationships. Be wise with the person you gave chocolates to and you give roses to. I hope I'm not scaring anyone today. They're all going to go out of here, so I'm not sending them anymore. The person that you give the rose to today will be more than likely the person that you spend the rest of your life with. Like I said before, the mother of your children and grandmother of your great-grandchildren. There's also a story that I'd like to tell you. It's about my mother-in-law. And, you know, it's not only people that love you and need to be loved, but it's also animals. Even animals need to be loved. And even animals love humans back. My wife told me a story about her mum, who's now passed away and gone to be with the Lord. They used to have a little dog called Lassie. It was only a tiny little dog. And my mother-in-law really loved this dog. She would feed it, and they became very, very good friends. So when she passed away, in Italy they have open coffins. I don't know, in some of your countries maybe they do the same thing. For a certain amount of time they'll leave the coffin open and then they close the coffin. So they had this open coffin in her house. And the dog, a little dog, went up to the coffin, looked at her in that coffin and just made a few funny noises, went outside and stopped eating and drinking for 15 days and eventually died. Did not eat and did not drink anything at all. They would go there, my wife would go there and put the food under its mouth, trying to get it to eat. It got that upset because it loved its master. But see, do you see what I mean? Even animals need love. So how much more us as Christians do we need to show love? Because God loved us so much that he came and he died on the cross. He died for us. He didn't have to. But look at the sacrifice. All you people here that have got children this morning, how much do you love your kids? Would you send them to die for people that hated you? Would you send them to die for people that swore and cursed and ridiculed and made fun of you? Probably not. I know I wouldn't. Jesus done that. God done that. He said, son, you got to go. They're dying. They're going to an eternal destruction. We can't let it go on like this. You have to go. And Jesus, being unselfish, he had no selfishness in him. He said, yes, I will go. That's the only way. They used to sacrifice animals, but it wasn't good enough anymore. They sacrificed them for the atonement of their sins, but it was no good anymore. It had gotten to the point where God himself had to come and die for mankind, die for us. I can't get my head around that, honestly. I cannot understand how much he loves us. That is just mind-boggling stuff. He loves us that much that he came and he died for us. He died for us because he loved us so much. If the music team wants to come forward, I'm going to wrap it up. God loved us so much that he came and died for you and me whilst we were still in sin. Can we just stand, and we're going to sing that song that we were singing earlier on. Sing Great, Great is Your Faithfulness. You know that song that you sang earlier on, the piece? Yeah. And maybe we can spend, because it's still a little bit early. I didn't make the message too long, because I just wanted us to close our eyes and just spend some time meditating on what Jesus done for us. Thanking him for his love, his compassion, his mercy that he had towards us. So for the next few moments, as our music team just sings this song, I wonder if we can just close our eyes, just block out everything for a moment. Don't think about what's happening after the service or where you've got to go or what you've got to do. Just these few moments that we can spend in prayer. I want you just to thank the Lord. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him. Just speak to him. And ask him to come into your situation at this time. You may be in a real tight situation with different things going on that you never expected so early in the piece in the year. But if you look to him and ask him sincerely with your heart, the Bible says he's not one to turn away from you. The Bible says that we, being evil parents, give our children good gifts. So how much more our Heavenly Father, who's a perfect loving God, wants to give us, his children, gifts and help us in our times of need. Let's look to him as they sing this song. Look to God. Open your eyes. Open your heart towards him now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you, Lord. Just look to him this morning. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.